Find a Bible, preferably one that is the Hebrew of the Masoretic text. If that doesn't work for you, then an English translation will work, or French or Japanese, whatever you have. Because since we do have the Hebrew text, we're good to go. Since January, we've been studying the divided kingdom of Israel. And if you ever thought to yourself, well, I wish that had relevance to me, then you have forgotten about America's divided kingdom. In 1861, we had two presidents, the president of the South, Jefferson Davis, and the president of the North, Abraham Lincoln. Now, it wasn't quite as long as Israel's, but it existed. The history of the divided kingdom of Israel is kind of a sad history, isn't it? All the kings of the north, all 19 of them, were bad. Everyone a bad king. And the 20 kings of the south in Judah, most of whom were bad. There were only 8 good kings, and Uzziah is one of them. He's the 5th of the 8. And it's only going to be 128 years after this that the kingdom of Judah too will go into captivity to Babylon. During his reign, during Uzziah's reign, the kingdom of the north, Israel, is going to go into captivity into Assyria in 722. This is not yet that time. This is close to 739 BC. And the prophet Isaiah, it has a lot of influence and a lot to do with all of these kings. So I invite you to follow along with me. I'm going to read, hopefully by now you found 2 Chronicles, and you'll be able to follow along in chapter 26. And if you're wondering, why in the world did God send them into captivity anyhow? Well, he promised that he would. Read Leviticus and read Deuteronomy. God said to Abraham, the land is yours forever. You can have it forever. Unless you disobey. When you disobey, I'm going to evict you. And if you repent, I'll bring you back. When we get to the book of Jeremiah in October, in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, God divorces them. It was not a divorce like today among people. He divorces them in order to bring them back. I wish all divorces worked like that, don't you? So here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbaal and the Moonites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields. How many of you have gardens? Here it comes. For he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jehiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the households of valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor. Nothing new under the sun. Bows and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped by God until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave, which belonged to the kings. For they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. May the Lord imprint his infallible words on our hearts.
As Pastor Ike mentioned, today we're continuing our series that we began almost a year and a half ago now, Kings and Controversies, as we review the life and reign of King Uzziah that you just heard read. Next week, we're going to begin a short study of the book of Isaiah. But leading up to that, we wanted to introduce to you some of the kings that were reigning during the ministry of Isaiah. And so that's why we're looking at Uzziah this week. You might remember last week, Pastor Ike showed you this chart here as we looked at the life and reign of King Ahaz, the king that's in the red box. This morning, we're going to back up a couple years and look at Ahaz's grandfather, King Uzziah, who is reigning over Judah. And notice, both of these men were reigning during the ministry of Isaiah the prophet. Of all the kings of Judah, Uzziah had the longest reign. But as you just heard, he did not end his reign well. I think his life can be summarized well with Jesus' words in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11 when Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We'll see in the text that Uzziah began well. He was humble and God exalted him. His reign was one of the best reigns during the time for Judah since the split of the kingdom 150 years earlier. Numerous times we're going to see through the text that God was helping him. God was exalting him because Uzziah was humble as he began his reign. But success began to get to Uzziah's head. His heart was lifted up. He became proud. And as Jesus states here in Luke 14:11, when he exalted himself, he was humbled. So this morning, as we consider the life and reign of King Uzziah, The question I want each one of us to consider is this: is success a friend or a foe? Is it a blessing to have success, or is it actually a curse? Now, before we can answer that question, we need to define what success is. Success is the opposite of failure. Success is the achievement of goals or dreams. It's the moving forward, moving upward. Keep in mind, the way that God defines success and the way that the world defines success do not always match. God defines success as faithfulness to His revealed will in His Word, whereas the world defines success as results, right? Whether it's money, position, or championships. But there is some overlap in the sense that God does enable some Christians to succeed and gain money and position in the world, to become rich, to be successful in that way. I think sometimes we can wrongly think that it's unspiritual for a Christian to have too much money. But do you remember what God told rich people in 1 Timothy chapter 6? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, God did not tell rich people to give away all your money so that you can become poor. Instead, God's instruction for rich people in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is to make sure that you are not trusting in that money. And God goes on to say, make sure that you are being generous with it, and make sure that you are enjoying it as well. But the question still remains, is success a friend or a foe? And 2 Chronicles 26, I think, provides us the answer through the reign of King Uzziah. In his life, we're going to see that the determining factor for whether success is a friend or a foe is how you are viewing God in your success. The answer is solely dependent upon your relationship with God. The life of Uzziah helps you and I to put success in the proper perspective, to see success as God sees it. So as we prepare to jump into the text, I'm curious, do you consider yourself to be successful? I know some of you have recently started a new job that is a step up from where you were. Others of you have been at your job for a number of years, and God is enabling you to prosper. But if we look at it from another vantage point, each one of you are United States of American citizens. And being an American, you are successful compared to the rest of the world. You just saw the picture during mission moment of that church in Africa, right? That is a good church building for them compared to what we have here. And so when we look at it from that standpoint, I would make the case that all of us are successful. I mean, consider the fact that all of us have our needs and many of our wants met. We're successful. And so if we are successful, this question of whether success is a friend or a foe is very relevant for each one of us. It's important for you and I to study the life of Uzziah, to learn from his example, so that we do not fall into the same trap that Uzziah did. It's my prayer that success will be a friend for each one of us. So let's jump in by looking first at the delights of success. Everyone likes to succeed. There's just something about being able to check off the box, to finish the race, to complete the job, to pass the exam, to achieve the award. There's something simply delightful about succeeding. But the question still is that success your friend or your foe? And as I just mentioned, that answer depends completely on where your focus is in. You see, if your focus in your success is consumed with everything that you have done to succeed, success can quickly become your foe. But if your focus in your success is on God, and you are praising and exalting Him for what He has enabled you to achieve, success can be your friend when God is in focus. As Uzziah began his reign, you see there in verse 1, he was only 16 years old. I'm guessing he understood that he still had some growing up to do, some maturing to do, and so it seems very likely that he began very humbly. He was not only humble, the text tells us he was seeking the Lord. You see that there at the end of verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. As Uzziah was seeking the Lord, God was prospering him, which reminds us or helps us to see that God blesses those who seek him. Now, as you write that on your outline, keep in mind that the Bible never promises health and prosperity for all who seek God on this earth. Now, there's a number of preachers out there who try to make that case, but in so doing, they are twisting God's word, and in so doing, they are actually bringing heartache and disappointment to many people. We need to understand that when God blesses a person, he first and foremost blesses them spiritually, which is so much more valuable than any physical blessing we could receive here on this earth. I mean, think about it. Is there anything more valuable on this entire earth than having a home guaranteed in heaven one day? Is there anything more rewarding than having a relationship with the God of the universe? Take some time a little bit later to read through just the first couple of verses of Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, and remind yourself of how God views blessing in the life of the Christian. Spiritual blessing is what's most important. But often, on top of that spiritual blessing, God gives us physical blessings, on top of the spiritual blessings we have received in Christ. And as I look around the room, I see all of us have been blessed physically in many ways. I know Joy and I have. We have received many blessings on top of all the spiritual blessings we have received in Christ. We have a nice home to live in. We have 2 cars to drive. We have money in the bank. We have 3 healthy children and 1 on the way. And so many other things that God has blessed us with physically. And God has blessed many of you as well. And Uzziah was blessed physically. Look in the text. You see there in verse number 2 that God enabled him to build Eloth and restore it to Judah. Now that city, if you look at this map, is at the very bottom of the map, at the very southern border of Judah. It was a city that Solomon established during his reign and made a port city, because you can see just a little bit of water right underneath that. That is the tip of one of the fingers of the Red Sea. But what you're seeing there in orange is how far Uzziah was able to expand the border of Judah. This was the largest that it ever was while Judah was its own country under Uzziah's reign. And so God was blessing Uzziah by expanding his borders. But notice also in verse 3, God was also blessing Uzziah by giving him a long reign. The text tells us that in verse number 3 that he reigned for 52 years. That's the longest reign of any king. That's longer than David, longer than Solomon reigned. But notice the connection between the physical blessings that Uzziah is receiving and the spiritual blessings that God has given him, and how Uzziah is seeking God. Look at verse 4 again. Uzziah did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Because he was doing right, God was blessing him. And again, that final phrase there at verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. God was blessing Uzziah as Uzziah sought God with his life. Verse 5 is a fascinating verse, as it mentions there that he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. That Zechariah is not the same Zechariah that wrote the book that's towards the end of the Old Testament, nor is it the Zechariah mentioned back in chapter 24, the priest. Instead, this seems to be the only reference to this man, Zechariah. But notice what the text tells us about this Zechariah. It says, who had understanding through the vision of God. That phrase could also be read, who had understanding or gave instruction in the fear of God. In other words, Uzziah was being mentored by this older godly man, Zechariah. Zechariah was to King Uzziah what Jehoiada was to King Joash. an older, wiser man who was reminding the king of what God said, giving him wisdom, enabling him to reign well. But again, notice that final phrase in verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. You see, the truth is, God blesses those who seek him. And Uzziah was living proof of that reality. Now, before we move on, do you understand what it means to seek God? How does one seek God? What does that actually look like? Well, David, the man after God's own heart, answers it for us in Psalm 63. As he writes in verse 1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Seeking God begins with a desire to know God. Spending time with him. We see 3 verses later in verse 4, seeking God also involves praising God. As David writes, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. This is what it means to seek God. Seeking God can simply be defined as spending time with God through his word and prayer. And that fits tightly with what we read in Psalm 1. You might remember Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The person who is meditating in God's word is blessed. They are seeking God. And so the question is, are you seeking God in his word? Are you making your time with God a priority in your day, or is God just getting your leftovers? Seeking God begins by spending time with him in his word, but then it must continue with living out the truths and principles that you read and discover. You see, the person who lives this way not only will be blessed by God, but as we see in the life of Uzziah, will also be exalted. The truth is, God exalts those who follow him. Remember, this is what Jesus said in Luke 14:11, right? He who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is exactly what happens to Uzziah. If you skip all the way down to the end of verse 15, notice the phrase, hence his fame spread afar. But notice, it wasn't because of his own skill. It wasn't because of his own accomplishments, as the phrase goes on to say, for he was marvelously helped. Who was helping him? Pastor Reich referenced it earlier when he just read the passage. God. God was the one that was helping Uzziah succeed and exalting him in this way. That's what the text bears out. Go back to verse number 7. Notice the first phrase in verse number 7. God helped him. It was God who enabled him to conquer his enemies. It was God who enabled him to expand his borders, as you see here in verses 7 and 8. In verse 9, it is God who enabled him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down during his father's reign. In verse 10, it is God who enabled his crops to succeed, his animals to thrive. Because God was prospering him, Uzziah was able to expand and train his military, as you see there in verses 11 through 14, making it a well-oiled fighting machine. It was also God in verse 15 who gave these engineers the creativity and the ability to prepare and create these war engines that could launch these arrows and launch these great stones. The point is, God was behind all of this. God was the one that was enabling Uzziah to succeed. God was exalting him. And that was all flowing from the fact that Uzziah was following God. Uzziah was doing what God wanted him to do. And as Uzziah followed God in obedience and sought him, God exalted him. And the same can be true for you and I. God is calling you and I to walk in humble obedience to him, and he promises to exalt us. Now keep in mind, our full exaltation will not take place here on this earth necessarily. But if it doesn't, it's definitely going to take place in all of eternity, in which many of us will be able to rule over cities, as we see in Luke 19. God exalts those who follow him. Following God and walking in obedience to his revealed will is the only way that success will be your friend. Our focus must be on God. Everything that we are doing must be done for him. And so the question is, are you following God? Or are you only giving him lip service, putting in the bare minimum, so to speak? God has called you and I as his children to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called. And that is such a high calling. God is calling us to walk in humble obedience to his revealed will. Or to put it another way, God is calling us to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. To not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. As you and I live in this way, God will exalt us. Success will be our friend. This is why we must keep our focus on our great God. Because there's nothing that can compare to the delights of walking in humble obedience with God. But sometimes our tendency as believers who are still fighting against our sin nature is to do our own thing, to focus on ourselves, to trust in our strength, to trust in our accomplishments. And when we do that, success is no longer a friend. It quickly becomes our foe, our enemy. Notice the first word in verse 16. It's the turning point. But. Verses 1 through 15, Uzziah is humble. God is exalting in verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Uzziah began seeking God. God was blessing him. But there came a time when Uzziah began to depend on his own strength and accomplishments. He did what he wanted to do. And we see in this the dangers of success. You see, Uzziah's success went to his head. Literally, that phrase there in verse 16 means that his heart was lifted up. He became proud. And it was his pride that was his downfall. Uzziah went from a very successful king who was well respected everywhere to a leper who was excluded from public life. How did that happen? As we're going to see in the text, Uzziah lost his focus on God. He did what he wanted to do. Success is dangerous when God is out of focus. Dr. Wickham describes Uzziah's fall as one of the worst falls in Old Testament history. And it's interesting to compare verse 16 to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, which speak of Satan's downfall. Satan fell as a result of pride. He, too, lifted up his heart. But the point I want you to see here in verse 16 is the connection that it was Uzziah's success and his wrong view of that success that led to his downfall. Success for him became his foe because it turned his focus away from God. Success can be very dangerous for you and I if we allow it to turn our eyes away from the Lord. That's so easy to do. I mean, just think about it. In the middle of difficulty, in the middle of trials, we have no choice in some ways but to turn to God, but to keep our eyes on him, but to focus on him and live in his strength. But when things are going well, It's easy to trust in ourselves, in our own strength. And in so doing, we ignore God, which is exactly what Uzziah was doing. And we see in Uzziah's life that ignoring God leads to sin. Uzziah was ignoring God. He was doing what he wanted to do. How did that happen? Well, as the text states, he was depending on his own strength. His heart was lifted up. He mistakenly thought that he was the reason he was succeeding. And as a result, he was looking for the next mountain that he could conquer. Evidently, one day it occurred to him that he should be able to worship God personally and burn incense to God like the priests. He was a great and successful king. What was preventing him from performing the ministry of a priest? But do you see what God thought about that idea? In verse 16, God describes Uzziah's actions as he was acting corruptly. He was acting unfaithfully to the Lord his God. God had specifically stated in the law that it was only the sons of Aaron who were to burn incense on the altar. For instance, we read in Numbers 16:40, no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord so that he will not become like Korah and his company. I'm sure that Uzziah had read this verse or had that verse read to him before. He was aware of this truth. But Uzziah was ignoring God. He was proceeding to do what he wanted to do. And in so doing, he was sinning. He was unfaithful to the covenant relationship he had with God. He was transgressing the clear boundary that God had established. He was breaking God's law. He was sinning. And the same thing can happen to you and I today if we are not careful. When God blesses us with success, we can easily lose our focus on God. And before we know it, we are trusting in our own strength and our wisdom, which can cause us to live in contradiction to God's revealed will in his word. At that point, we too, just like Uzziah, become unfaithful to God. We are acting corruptly. We're no longer walking in the spirit. We are walking in the flesh. We become focused on what we want to do, even if it's in direct violation to God's word. For instance, we begin to live for the money we are earning. Or we become more excited about the latest movie or TV show than we are about our relationship with the Lord. Or we can find ourselves being entertained by sin. There are so many areas in which you and I can fall into sin to turn our attention away from the Lord, to ignore him and pursue what we want to do. This is why success can be very dangerous for you and I. But it can also be dangerous because success, if we're not careful, can cause us to resist correction, which will bring judgment. This is what happens to Uzziah. Can you picture in your mind the scene that is described for us here in verses 16 through 20? I'm imagining that King Uzziah got up that morning and put on some of his best kingly robes and began to make his way to the temple carrying a censer in his hand. As he walked into the courtyard of the temple, the smoke that he was from that censer that he was waving back and forth was following him. And immediately all the priests who were on duty that day at the temple had their eyes focused on him, watching to see what was their king going to do. Well, he continued to make his way through the courtyard, and then he began to walk up those steps towards the temple door. And I can imagine the eyes of the priests just got extremely wide. They could not believe what they were seeing. And then their king opened the door and began to walk into the temple. At which point, the text says in verse 17, then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. The heroes of this passage are Azariah the priest and the 80 other priests who joined with him. Theirs was a courageous act to stand for the Lord, to speak against the king, a man who could very easily have put them to death. But as they do this, as they confront Uzziah, notice the three things that they do. First, they remind Uzziah of what God has declared in his word. Then, notice they specifically call him to repent, to leave. And then they warn him what's going to happen if he chooses to continue to act in this way. He's going to have no honor from the Lord. Everything that Azariah and these priests do is spot on. They are honoring God in all of their actions. But as often happens, even today when we confront someone, the person being confronted becomes angry at the messenger. And notice the text says in verse 19, Uzziah was enraged, specifically at the priests. That word enraged is anger to the max. He was storming mad. But he was missing God's mercy. Because God in his mercy had given Uzziah the opportunity to repent and turn from his sin in that moment. Uzziah should have responded to the priest's correction and acknowledged the error of his ways. But instead, he dug in his heels and refused to listen to the priest's appeals. He resisted God's correction. And at that point, the Lord intervened. The time for judgment had come. Because Uzziah was resisting God's correction through the priest, God judged him with leprosy, as you see there in verse 19. And I'm guessing the priest noticed it first. I'm guessing their faces, which had earlier had been stern, all of a sudden were showing great shock and even fear as they saw the leprosy begin to pop out on his forehead. Think of a pimple that's just appearing right before your eyes and growing bigger and becoming all white. It didn't take Uzziah very long to figure out what was going on. The priest didn't even have to convince him to leave the temple at that point. Notice the text tells us there in verse 20 that he too hastened to get out of the temple. Uzziah understood that God had smitten him and judged him for his sin. Do you know that a similar thing can happen to you and I today? If we choose to ignore or resist God's correction, God will bring judgment against us. It will probably not be leprosy breaking out on your forehead, but there are many other ways that God can judge you and I if we choose to resist his correction. It could be a sickness of another kind. It could definitely be the loss of reward in heaven. This is why you and I must not resist God's correction in our lives. Success can be dangerous if it causes us to ignore God, to resist his correction. But notice the third danger of success, which Uzziah demonstrates for us in the last three verses. Namely, that exalting yourself results in forced humility. Again, this is Jesus' words from Luke 14:11. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And that's exactly what happened to Uzziah. His was a forced humility immediately. And notice in verse 21, he remained a leper to the day of his death. He was never healed of this terrible disease. I'm guessing that he repented of his sin of walking into the temple, of trying to burn the incense, based on Isaiah's words about him in Isaiah chapter 6. But even though he may have repented and lived the rest of his life in humility, he had to endure the leprosy, this consequence for his sin for the rest of his life. God gave very specific instructions for lepers that you can read in Leviticus 13 and 14, which is why verse 21 records that Uzziah was living in a separate house. He was no longer living in the temple. This is forced humility. But notice also in verse 21, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. As a leper, he was no longer able to enter any part of the temple to worship God there. He could still worship God in his house, the house he was living in, but he could no longer assemble with the people of God in the temple to worship God together. Because of his leprosy and God's commands for lepers to be separate from the rest of society, Uzziah could no longer carry out the affairs of the kingdom. That's why verse 21 ends with the phrase, "And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land." That was forced humility. Uzziah was one of the greatest kings to reign over Judah, is now being forced to step down and let his son judge the people, all because he exalted himself and let success go to his head. We must never forget that exalting ourselves results in forced humility. The ways that God can humble us are innumerable. He is God. He is able to do whatever he wants. This is why, brothers and sisters, we must learn from the example of Uzziah. We must be on guard against pride and allowing success to go to our head. We must continue to trust the Lord and keep our focus on him. The prophet Micah reminds us in chapter 6 and verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" God desires you and I to walk humbly with him. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the perfect example of this, right? As we read in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held onto, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." That's the attitude that we are to have in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You and I must follow our Savior's example and walk in humble obedience to God. If we do not, there may come a day when God forces you to be humble, and that will not be very pleasant. So the question, one last time, is success your friend or your foe? The answer, it all depends on your relationship with God. If success causes you to praise and exalt God for all that he is doing, success is your friend. If you are seeking God when things are going well, success can be your friend. But if success causes you to ignore God and trust yourself, success will quickly become your foe. If success causes you to exalt yourself and live how you want to live, not giving God another thought, it will only be a matter of time before you find yourself humbled by God. This is why God must be our focus. We must continue to seek God through his word and prayer, spending time with him. We must seek to live in the strength that he provides as we honor him in all that we do, seeking to do what is right in his sight. And again, the only way that we can do that is if we keep our eyes set on him. He must be our focus. As our closing song says, he must be our vision. He must be our best thought by day or by night. We must keep our eyes on him. Will you stand with me now as we sing, "Be Thou My Vision"?